This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, then, no proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him, I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Wish I could large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch on YouTube review him for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Leroy.
What's up?
2026.
Some good football too.
Good football. Good basketball.
Good basketball. Locally. We had
come on.
Two of our teams clip some top teams in their sport. The Heat beat the number one seed in the East.
Yep.
The Canes beat the number two team in the country.
Talk about it.
And now they saying we the captains now.
I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now.
Love that.
It was tremendous. You can say what you want about Mario. This game played out like a Mario game. Right?
Hey. Did you see what he said at halftime?
No.
I think, I don't know if it was halftime or one of those breaks going into the fourth quarter, maybe. I think the exact question, because they were referring to how, you know, the game was going to rely a lot on the trenches and the heavy play and the physicality. I think he's like, are you ready for a rock fight? And Mario Cristobal just looks at him. He's like, I'm built for this.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Put me in, coach. Put me in.
The problem is, and this happens in anything that we do when we compete, right? They tell you how a game is going to be. They try to prepare you for it. But until you actually get into that game,
what we do. That's what he said. My bad. Daytime scared. That's what we do. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what he said.
So when you get into those games and realize how physical they are, for example, we can go into boxing with Anthony Joshua. Everybody told that man how hard Anthony Joshua hits. Yeah. But until you get hit by him, you don't really know or understand. And I think what has happened recently with these teams playing the Canes, they think they understand, you know, that pass rush or that physicality up front on the offensive and defensive line. But until you play 60 minutes against it, you don't understand. And that is the true, you know, definition of what this team has been. To a lot of people complaining about almost being too conservative or, you know,
yeah, you do
not taking more chances, right.
I thought we took some chances in the second half, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting him to do that. I was expecting him to sit on the ball. And I understand that, you know, Ohio State still came and swung back, as they are. They're a great team. But I'm okay with the play calling.
Here's the thing you have to understand, and I get sometimes frustrated when hearing remarks that, listen, you're playing against a team like that. You're going after them. They're blitzing on every play. And the exposure to the Canes was this. If you don't get there, you're going to expose your secondary. And they had some plays downfield. And that was going to happen. And I knew it was going to come, you know, at some point. Here's what Ohio State did that people don't just look at all the interactions of the game. The first half, they were three wides, one back, wide open, and they were getting killed, right? Yeah,
couldn't block anyone.
The second half, all you saw was this. You know what this is?
What?
11 personnel, two tight ends.
Ah.
Or 12 personnel, right? They put two tight ends in, one back, and they had a whole bunch of guys blocking up front.
Oh, yeah.
And then they let those receivers run, just the two receivers run and get open. And they had some success doing that.
That's a good
However, the pass rush didn't, you know, they couldn't stop that pass rush forever.
Only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great equalizer. You look at the perfect.
Well,
picture.
It's that way in all sports.
Of
go
course.
Go back
yeah.
and look at Philadelphia last year.
Yeah.
What we talk about, offensive and defensive line. Right? So whenever you see a football team at any level and you say, we got weapons and we got this, if you're not talking about the offense and defensive line and controlling the line of scrimmage, then at some point you become susceptible to what happened to Ohio State at any level. And that has proven out, and that's been proven out throughout football. Offense and defensive line. So anytime you hear a team that's built any other way,
yeah,
they may win sometimes.
Yep.
But they ain't gonna compete all the time.
Very true. Very true. Which is why it is surprising when you see the two teams that lost yesterday. You know, it's truly NIL and the growth of the game in general and what coaches are prioritizing has made it so that the two teams that went home yesesterday were, you know, the dynasty.
Well, the teams that everybody gave praise to because of the name.
Yeah.
Right? And we looked at all the – look, you want to talk about dynamics and outside. That's Ohio State. But I said this before the game, that Julian Stain has been playing easy football all year, except for three games. Texas got after him. They barely scored. Indiana got after him. They barely scored and lost. And Miami. What do all those teams have in common? Pass rush. And anytime Julian Stain has been put in a position where it's going to be more of a rock fight and not him just sitting back, you know, eating lunch and throwing passes. Right? You give him time, but how many quarterbacks, if we give 4 or 5 seconds to throw the ball, they're going to look like Hall of Famers?
No, that was, you know, obviously that was, like you said, he had all the time in the world. You're supposed to be able to make that throw. And it was the best receiver in the country. Which, by the way,
correct.
I don't know if you saw him after the game by any chance. Did you see how many people he dapped up after the game?
Well, he knew all. He played against all of them.
Leroy, it was like 29 people.
Yeah, he played against all of them. That's you know what?
You know, you didn't look at that and think, baby, you know.
Listen, trash talk is trash talk.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to him for not, you know, yeah, y'all got us. Dap you up, good game. You know, that's sports. You know, that's that. I made nothing of it. I just saw it.
I don't know.
Huh?
Look, hey, listen, to quote our boy, I don't know.
Looks like he's not leaving.
All right. Well, I mean, he's accomplished like, already.
Are we doing that now? Are we doing it in college?
No, why not? How much money do you think he can get from
because
a
Miami how about this? Do you need him to win?
No.
Okay. That's it.
I mean, that's where it is. I mean, come on.
You know what? I look at it like this.
Yeah.
You made your choice.
Yeah, true.
you made your choice.
I'm sure a lot of his teammates are looking at him like that, too.
No, like, just look, you made a choice. You had that choice at the time. Your choice was good.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's not now. I mean, last year, amazing freshman season championship. But that's why I feel like, hey, you've already accomplished that, buddy. Why don't you
Here's the kicker.
Do it somewhere else.
Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
Worry about the guys that's coming out that have the same choices as him. And now they're going to make different choices.
Yeah.
They're not going to be choosing the Alabamas and the Ohio States and the Clemsons and the Notre Dame. Now they can go right in their own backyard. So that's the importance of all this, is that, you know what? There's four teams left in college football.
Yeah.
And wherever you recruit all over this country, and the Michigans, yes, silly sauce, and the Michigans, yeah, that's fine. But I only notice, I only mentioned the teams that are in the playoffs. That's why I said that. All right? And because we got grandpa coaching, that's a whole nother story. But so from that standpoint, you know, I watched all those games and I looked at it like, you could tell the teams that kind of just thought they were going to go in there and do whatever they wanted to do, and then got caught up in a battle. Georgia did the same thing. They kind of went at it and thought we were just going to, you know, run over them, and they had some control early in the game, and they were doing their thing, and Ole Miss just kept coming, right? And then got him. Like,
I'm actually sad about that, though, if I'm being honest.
Oh, you wanted to get back?
I heard all Canes fans, and I think we all felt the same way. We wanted it to be Georgia for the Carson Beck revenge game, and we wanted Oregon at a certain point for the Mario Cristobal revenge.
Yeah. You were about the wrong damn thing.
No, man. I want the story.
Here's all I care about.
Yeah.
The Canes won.
Yeah.
Whoever they got to play next.
Yeah. Who do they play next? Ole Miss, right?
Ole Miss.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever they got to play next, they play next. Who's next up? I don't care about all that other stuff. That's on them. They ain't handle their business. Why should I be worried about Georgia now? Why should I be worried about Alabama now? Who cares? We playing. The Miami Hurricanes are playing for a national championship.
Yep.
And look really good.
So I still haven't mentioned anything to my cousin about the wedding.
Huh?
I haven't mentioned anything to my cousin about the wedding and me potentially missing, because I may have to.
There's two things. I've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
Let me break it down for you.
All right.
One. Your cousin is having a Monday wedding.
Right?
Which automatically eliminates all the people that have jobs.
Martin Luther King Day, too?
On Martin Luther King Day.
Come on.
Right?
Yep.
And he probably, and let me tell you what sneaky people do. Mm. Probably said, nobody got to work. It's an extended weekend, a holiday.
That's exactly what he did. Hey, listen, you show me how much he saved, though, and I'm like, okay, not that bad of an idea.
Okay, that's all fine and great.
Yeah.
And then that's cool, and good for him for saving some money, right?
Yeah.
Read the room.
Mm.
Right? Like, there's a reason why that day was cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They say, you know, we have an open date.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, hear me out. Monday.
Three-day weekend,
Martin Luther King Day. Right?
Yeah.
Now, whoever the salesperson is that sold them on this.
Yeah.
Now, kudos. Because sure. I don't even know if black people get married on Martin Luther King Day.
Nope. I don't think so. I don't think that's one of the listed things to do, to be honest. A lot of things you can do on Martin Luther King Day.
I hope warm up, because I'm freezing.
It has been quite cold. You know what, Leroy? If you can, I think we have a weather sponsor still, right? I was confused by the lack of headline sponsor that Tobin put in the most recent rundown, so I've been scared to do it. But I'm going to do my job and look at the log and read this for a second. Let's get a weather report sponsored by Chill Zone AC. Featuring reliable Rude AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com. Leroy, what is the windowplex telling you?
Not a cloud in the sky, nary a breath of wind. Mm. It is sunny and chilly. I don't even think it's 60 degrees yet.
Wow.
But
poetic.
It It is a beautiful day, and if this is the worst weather we get in Florida, we living good. We outside, bro. It's warmer. Warmer than what?
What?
Nah. Warmer than what?
It is 64 degrees right now.
64. All right. Yeah. All right.
But,
RV and Rich, it's 39. I hate y'all. I don't know. Dude, I'm telling you. It was crazy.
This, I just, speaking of the weather real quick, I realized that I had this conversation with Appel, who joined us earlier in the week, because today is the Winter Classic, as you know.
Yeah.
We were lining up to be the third warmest at the time, which meant that there was two other options that were warmer than us, so it wasn't that big of a deal because we were scheduled to be around 63 degrees. Now that I'm seeing that it's closer to about 70 degrees, I think we're going to be the warmest. We're going to be tied with Los Angeles for the warmest Winter Classic game of all time.
They're going to close the roof, right?
I think they have to at this point.
The sun melts ice, even if it's cold.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to close the roof. But have you seen how it's had, like, have you seen the layout of everything? I think I still have it here.
I saw pictures.
Yeah, this is how
that, it looks. Listen, that's crazy right there. That's crazy. They almost, you know what they kind of did? They kind of did what they do with F1, right?
Yeah.
Like how they put all the surrounding stuff or whatever.
Yep. That's true. That is a very good point.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
it almost looks like a parquet floor they put out there.
Really? It does, yeah.
It looks like wood.
I wasn't sure how they were going to do it, you know, but the way that this ended up with the themes.
We could get a good shot from our Budweiser zone.
Yeah. Look at that. Right there in the. Dang, that would be perfect. That would be perfect. Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Looking at that layout.
Yeah.
Where are the good seats?
Where are the good seats? Yeah. Even if you're by the dugout, I would not suggest a dugout.
Hey, they got that thing right in the middle.
Usually if you're right behind the pitcher, or I'm sorry, the catcher, oh, that's perfect right there. But you're essentially in center field. That's the same distance you would be. That's crazy. I guess the best.
I mean, the first baseline and the third baseline are the closest to the action.
Well, I think you're right. The Budweiser is the best. That's the best.
Yeah.
Right there.
It's high enough.
Yeah.
You can see all the action. It's not the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
But it's not too close where you can't see all the action.
No. Well, that's
beautiful. That's, you know what? I think it's a once in a lifetime thing to experience in South Florida. Hell, we got two cups down here. You might as well bring the Winter Classic down.
I think without those cups, no way we get the Winter Classic. No way.
Really?
I don't think so because we're not, you know, it's the warmest game. It literally, this is the reason they don't want to do it, you know. And then if we don't win, people are like, Florida doesn't represent hockey. You're not going to get anyone down there. But the fact that this is the home of hockey, the state of Florida.
The state of Florida.
And, you know, they got no choice at this point.
Right.
But we got that. We got some new additions to the front office with the Miami Dolphins.
Kinda.
And the Miami Heat are streaking. That's four in a row for them. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. We got 15 minutes of Heat. It is the Tobin and Leroy Show. No Tobin. And I'm sure you can see by now, Leroy, I'm on this side of the glass today.
Double duty, do you get? Let me tell you something. Do they pay you twice?
They don't. They don't.
So basically, we got Timu Radio today.
Correct. So that means, you know, we got the games, of course. We're going to go ahead and play Guess That Animal. That's one of our favorites. We haven't had that one in a while. So we're going to bring that one back. And for the first time this year, we're going to try to tickle Leroy's fancy. So. All that and more. Make sure you stay tuned. This is the Tobin and Leroy Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
37 seconds to go. Hawkins, right hand dribble, right side. Takes Green down to the mid post. Works him to the dots. Spins, fades, knocks it down. Jaime Hawkins Jr. doing what had to be done. We've got 28.9 remaining. Timeout Pistons. Jaime with 19 off the bench.
Victory, Leroy. Victory, baby.
Sorry, I had you muted. My fault.
I say I'm going to use your code.
Oh, use my code, baby. Use my code.
Hey, now,
yes.
I didn't watch the whole game, but the last, like, 10 minutes I watched.
Yes.
And was I the only one who, at the end of the game, everybody went,
No. I definitely, yeah. That was squeaky cheeks towards the end, as Tobin would say. That one was, because look, Detroit's a good team. Not only that, but I have PTSD. We've lost games to them right at the end.
Bad timeout.
That was a bad timeout, and I think they had like another one that was like an alley-oop or something like that.
Did the alley-oop that the Heat always do.
Exactly. I think not mistaken, the last four games that they had have been settled by single digits or been very close at the end. So, you know, we were up by as much as, I think, 21, 22 points in that second half there. And even then, I was like, I am not giving up on this game yet because Detroit's a good team, man. That was their ninth loss on the season. Like, that's...
Yeah. No, they're a good team. They're a good team. I tell you what, that group they had at the end, though,
yeah,
that defense was relentless. Except Bam handling the ball, we could do.
I had maybe about, I'll say, 37 highlights or something like that yesterday as I was producing the game. And I just couldn't help but constantly hear Norman Powell's name over and over and over again. This guy, by the time I look up at that, he has like 36 points or something like that.
And yeah.
That guy has been an absolute, like, I wouldn't say a diamond in the rough, but this is much better than anyone could have ever anticipated from Norman Powell.
Well, I think the whole thing with Norm is we all looked at his age and how he came into form or kind of became that guy on the Clippers with all the stuff that was going there. And anytime you see somebody, you know, start getting their numbers that late in their career on that team, you start thinking, oh, it's because of the injuries or he's a looter in the riot because they're not winning. So you kind of look at it with a little bit of skepticism, but dude's a bona fide scorer. And I think what he brings, you know, here is that he's a bona fide scorer, can play a little bit of defense, and he has it in him. And yeah. I think there's really, you know, good for the Heat for you know, recognizing that, because guess what? Name another bigger trade in the offseason.
Yeah, so right now I can't think
especially
of one.
Especially with what you had to give up to get him. That's the main thing.
For sure. For sure. Another thing that I've noticed in these last couple games is two big things that I feel like I can't say the problem is 100% solved, but we constantly discussed the third quarter.
That was,
you know, the biggest issue with the Miami Heat. But these past two games against Denver and Detroit, they've come out fighting.
They've extended the lead. I wonder if because they understand that the other team has that power, you know, that kind of that talent on the other side that they can't afford it. So they kind of focus on that, or because it always seems like it's never the teams leading the division or leading the conference that get them with the third quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right.
True.
It's usually
it's
like
the
a
team
letdown.
That are equal to them.
Yeah.
So it was a good win. You know, they put on the final charge at the end, but the Heat were able to, and that steal at the end. Holy smokes. I mean, the shortest guy on the court, come on now. Like,
you got lucky.
Listen,
you got lucky.
Are you guys like me? Were you counting? I'm like, man, I got all the way to 7. Blow the whistle.
I'm doing the motion. I'm doing the arm thing. I got to seven. Jaime Jaquez actually discussed yesterday postgame what he thinks has been the change that has allowed them to find success in the third quarter.
I think, you know, we're just coming out with a different energy, a different mentality, really just trying to assert our presence and our dominance, especially if we have a lead going into the next half. We want to come out and be really strong.
Yeah, I mean, simple.
That sounds like he says, I'm very aware of third quarter, and we tried to do something there. You know, you're not going to talk about Drew Smith?
Who? I don't know. Who's that? Did he have a good game yesterday or something like that? It's just the way
you can't look at. You can't look at. See, you can't be a stat sheet guy with Drew Smith.
He just does like
he's a menace.
He does like one thing though. Like every game, he does like one or two things maybe.
Really?
That, like what does he do? That's like, oh my god, Drew Smith. Like
defense, steal the ball. He's him and Davion are the two guys that just cause havoc on defense.
He had 9 points yesterday, which is like, woo, 9 points.
Hey, you wrong for that, Drew. You wrong for that. Jukebox said Drew Smith in line for seventh player of the year.
That's what I'm – okay, so he's a seventh – at most, he's a seventh best player on your – at like literally at his peak, he's the seventh most important person on your team. Why does everyone glorify him?
Because when he plays and the minutes he plays and what he does on defense, it helps. It helps. Nobody's claiming Drew Smith is a superstar or anything like that. But his role on this team is very important. And you just dismiss it because you look at a stat line.
Yeah.
Right? They don't need Drew Smith to score 20 points.
See,
he's not in the game to score 20 points. He's in the game to just cause havoc on the defensive end. And handle the ball,
dude.
And be a point guard.
No, it's this fan base, dude. This fan base will idolize a Michael Doliak, will idolize a Joel Anthony, will love them some Keon Dooling or some Dexter Pittman for reasons because they just love to find, you know, the underdog guy on the roster. It's cute. It's adorable.
You don't think you need those guys to win? You don't think you need those unheralded guys to win?
They're replaceable.
No, you think?
I think.
Then why haven't they replaced him? He was out for a whole year. They could have very easily replaced him. Why didn't they?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Would you say that the Heat and their front office are better at what they do than you?
I would definitely say that.
So if Drew Smith is still on the team and playing important minutes,
yeah,
that would mean that.
Clearly,
guess what?
He has.
They know what's going on.
No, he has blackmail on Pat Riley. That's my theory for sure.
He has
Pat Riley accidentally sent him a text one day. Remember when Tobin accidentally sent a picture of us trying on that shirt that his wife got him?
You know all those guys you mentioned.
Yeah.
Right. They've all played some kind of role, and if you look around the league, there's been a bunch of guys that been developed. Mm-hmm. By the Miami Heat to be those guys, and then went on to have long careers.
Okay, well, now I'm saying if we gave those same minutes to Jakučionis,
mm-hmm.
would we, like, I think that would serve the team better. Because now we're developing
As of right now, Drew Smith is more dependable. Not better.
Yeah.
More dependable. As far as what he can do on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, I can depend on him to be underwhelming.
Is he?
It's just like,
I mean, what would you think a success for Drew Smith would be?
I mean, let's start with double digit points. Double digit anything. Can I get double-digit anything?
He doesn't play enough for that.
Man, listen, I wonder why.
Why don't you look at his assists, steals, and points per minute?
Oh, well, I didn't even want to hear about this plus or minus BS I always hear about. Oh, it's plus or minus. It's plus or minus.
Is,
oh, yeah.
Is that not important?
It was 3 yesterday. Simone Fontecchio had a 4. So, hey, I don't hear anything about Simone.
They play different positions.
No one is around you.
They play different positions.
Yeah, they do.
Simone plays in a very similar position as Jovic. You want to take him out and take Jovic out and put him in?
No, I mean, I don't want to take him out, but I'm just saying, like, Drew Smith had 15 minutes yesterday, put up 9 points
in 15 minutes.
Simone Fontecchio had 6 minutes and put up 5 points.
He should, okay.
Hey, listen, look, I'm just saying he took advantage of his time.
Okay, better. 15 minutes and he scored 9 points.
Yeah.
Extrapolate to 35-minute play.
Okay.
What is that?
Now, okay, well, how about if we're extrapolating, then how come Jakučonis yesterday, 6 minutes, no stats, an 11 plus or minus? So what are we doing here?
All right.
Give him more
time. So if he would have played 30 minutes, he would have had
a bigger plus minus.
He would have
had 0 points.
He would have done a lot of cardio, but we would have been winning by 40.
There you go. They did. Per 36 minutes, he averages 13.5 points and 3.3 steals.
Oh, okay. And then if you divide that by 2.
Is that not good?
I don't know. I don't know if that's good. Someone just made these stats up. Michael Jordan never had these stats. Back in my day,
played 40 minutes.
There was 3 stats: blocks, steals, points, and then they added this rebound thing. That's when they got soft.
Rebounds. They had the rebounds long before Michael Jordan, dude.
Sorry. I don't know. I was just possessed by an old guy. I don't know what happened. When we come back, we will discuss the Miami Dolphins' newest addition to the front office.
Oh,
Leroy will explain what the hell this means. We got that and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show. Stick around, you filthy animals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maxine, your owner say, I don't know what I know, but
murder, she wrote. Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. It is actually the Leroy and Frog Boy Show on a Frog Boy Friday, a football Friday as well. We talked a little bit of Hurricanes earlier. Now to address the professional team in Miami Gardens. Your Miami Dolphins made a move yesterday, Leroy. Made a move to hire former Dallas Cowboy signal caller and ESPN analyst Hall of Famer Troy Aikman. He is a consultant to advise the organization on its general manager search process. Leroy, what the hell does that mean?
Nothing.
All right. We're just giving him a check.
Well, here's what I would say. One of the things that is sometimes frustrating with the organization is I sometimes think that Stephen Ross's heart is in the right place and he wants to get advice.
His heart's in the right place.
To do the right things.
Yes.
However.
Always seeking advice.
Oh, right. And I think at some point he just either needs to go with somebody who he really trusts.
He did.
Not that people have suggested that he bring into the organization.
Yeah.
Because it seems like for years, somebody has kind of hinted at a person that could help, and he's brought them in.
Yeah.
And because he's loyal, that person has been in the organization for a really long time. I think he should hire and bring more people in that have a vested interest in the success of the organization, being that people that have been down here sweating with him, you know, through these tumultuous times, instead of bringing a new voice in that might not necessarily understand, one, why the organization has struggled and what has been the issues down here. Like, you could bring in somebody else to give you a very qualified coach, right? A coach that, you know, that Troy Aikman may suggest that knows, there's one hell of a coach, knows how to run an organization and what have you. But if you think about somebody who's been around here, they're also going to have their hand on what has gone wrong over the years and what has, you know, what the struggles have actually been. So you could bring in a new coach, but you still got to fix how the team is put together, what type of players you bring in, what you have to get away from that has, and in December, in January, have been, you know, the team struggles. Somebody who's closer to it would maybe have a better understanding of that and say, you know what? Maybe we don't go out and get this high-powered wide receiver. Maybe we get a D lineman. Maybe we get us a solid offensive lineman.
So maybe why the hell did we hire Troy Aikman then?
Huh? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
So this is bizarre to you. And
it's not here. It's not bizarre to handle the questions you have about coach, but it is bizarre in handling the question about how to turn the team around.
I think Mike McDaniel is staying because he was brought in to advise for the GM search. And I have heard rumblings that Ross, you know, Ross already has a problem firing someone. He already fired one guy. He's never been the guy to clean house. And as much as people would benefit from Mike McDaniel no longer being the head coach as well or as not well as you think he's done, I think he's staying next year. So with that being said, what the hell are we doing with Troy Aikman? Is this another Bill Parcells? Are we just giving this guy money because he has a name?
Again, I don't know what his role is going to be, if he's helping decide on the coach, if he's helping decide on the GM.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, and people need to understand, it's not about who. It's about what. It's about what that person is going to do to turn it around. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that can be really good GMs, but there's not a bunch of guys that understand what this team needs.
See, and
what this organization needs to turn it around. And I think that's more important than just having a guy who's an excellent GM. If he doesn't understand, okay, what's going on the last 5-6 years? Why haven't we been able to get over the hump? Why haven't we been able to do this and be able to fix that? Then it doesn't matter, because if another guy comes in and he wants to build the team like he thinks the team needs to be built without fully understanding what this team needs at those moments in time, then you're going through another cycle.
It says that this is not a permanent role. He'll just be an advisor throughout the process for the Dolphins' next GM, and it will not affect his job as a Monday Night Football analyst this season. This is a part-time job. This guy got a little part-time job. He's, how much? How much are
you gonna? You know what part? You know what another word for?
Yeah.
Part-time is.
Yeah.
Advisor.
Yeah, that's.
Exactly. That means just a phone call.
So we're hey. Just yeah, I'll take a call.
So.
This is ridiculous.
You know, I get everybody says because of Greer. Oh, okay, but Greer wanted to build the team a certain way. He had a boatload of resources.
He failed.
Right? To do and what ends up happening is when you have a lot of resources and you don't spend those resources wisely, it becomes a temporary fix. Whereas if you look at some of the teams who have had sustainability,
yeah,
they have built it a certain way and continued on building it, you know, that way. Just look at somebody like Detroit. And I know Detroit struggled this year because they've been banged up for the last 2 years. But if you look at somebody like Detroit, they went into it with a basic fundamental plan. And that was, we're going to get tougher, we're going to build offensive line, we're going to build defensive line, we're going to run the hell out of the football. Right? All the other pieces that they got, they weren't intentionally going out to get, but they ended up drafting stars in the draft, not using top picks. You understand what I'm saying? So Amon St. Brown, what round was he? I'm going to say third?
I don't even know.
When you look at...
See how fast I type?
Huh?
See how fast I type? Yeah. Fourth round.
Fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you look at all of their top draft picks, they were on the offense and defensive line.
Yeah, Penei Sewell, guy to Michigan, Aiden?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you look at, like, and so
built what, a run the game. Dolphins,
what the Dolphins have done over the years, they almost went the opposite way.
Yeah, totally.
So there you go. So, like, there's a way. And look, if you want to know how successful teams build program, I'm going to just say this. As much as you sometimes wonder about Mario's game time stuff, the way that team is built is going to – you're going to be able to play football this time of year. Yeah, and it's evident by how they play football this time of year. It is no secret. Like, yeah, you can have a great quarterback and he can cover up for some of the other things. But if you look at the teams that have sustained, you know, excellence, and that means that every year they're competing for either a playoff spot or a championship at any level, the one constant in all of that is – offense and defensive line. And that's nothing new to football. And for people to think we can do it differently, you might be able to do it differently for a minute.
So,
but the long-term sustainability is usually, you know, around that fact, that we're going to build this team, offense and defensive line. We're going to be good up front. We're going to get after the quarterback. And then we're going to build around that.
All right, now, are you free for a phone call potentially next Tuesday, Leroy? Because I'll pay you $10 million to say that if you're Troy Aikman. Because if he's not saying that, then what the hell are you even doing?
But I would think, and to be fair, I would think a guy that played with Dallas and played with one of the greatest offensive lines ever assembled and that had that defense with that defensive line – I would think that he would understand that more than most.
Maybe. Or maybe he's like, you know, they couldn't have done it without me. You should get a quarterback. You never know what this guy's thinking. I hope right.
Like, for the people that say if we have a quarterback, we have a chance. Okay?
Got to protect him.
I give you Joe Burrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, there's other pieces to it. There's other pieces to having this thing go in the right direction. There's other things that go into it by just saying, oh, we got our quarterback, we can win. That's not an accurate statement.
I agree. I agree that we need to do it the way you mentioned it. I just hope Troy Aikman agrees.
What I'm saying is nothing new.
No, it's not. Because, I mean, you know, obviously – football, but you're close to the situation, which is what you were suggesting they should have done with it. They needed any advisors or anything like that. Now we're just hoping that Troy Aikman sees it the same way you see it, Leroy. Or like
now, here's the problem. Whoever gets the GM job,
yeah,
the things that I talk about are not the priority. The priority is getting your money right.
Yeah,
you see what I mean?
That's gonna
so there's going to have to be some decisions made that have nothing to do about what I just talked about to just get you in line with being able to make those moves after.
Absolutely.
Now, whatever has to happen then, I don't know how they're going to accomplish that. You got a lot of guys that are making a lot of money. You got Tua making 50. You got Waddle making 30. You got Tyreek making 30. Right? Yeah. You think about that. That's $110 million.
I say we get those three off the books. Against your cap. Can we get those three off the books? Is that possible? Raiders need a quarterback or they need a Tyreek Hill.
Here's what I would say. It's a little bit different for Tyreek. I don't think he has any guaranteed money left.
Vikings need a quarterback.
But I would say when guys have those years, and you have to be careful with how you do it, you can restructure some of these deals. Absolutely. How can I put this? You don't want to restructure Tua's contract. Hmm. Simply because if you restructure it, that means he's here for more years.
True.
Okay? And if you're going to make that decision, you don't want to have more years because you stretched out $20 million. Jalen Waddle, I don't know what the terms of his contract are. You might be able to do something with that. So you could easily get that $110 million down to $60 million if all parties are, you know, a lot of times players know. Players know, man, the year I just had, I'm going to get that knock. Hey, let's talk about it,
yeah.
Right? You know that. So those parts of it, I'm not fully up on the contracts and what could be done or who would even be willing to do it. A lot of times guys will say, hey, I think I could go make this money somewhere else. No, I'm not renegotiating. You either cut me and let me go make my money elsewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the case in most cases. In most cases, guys want to, you know, see it through. But that's not. Two is a whole different situation. Yeah. Like the other guys, if you redo their contracts, you can bring them back. But if you redo Tua's contract, that means you got them for another year or two. See what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that whoever gets the job, before they even make a decision on a draft or who's going to get drafted or whatever, they got to make all these decisions on basically what's going to happen to the roster. How are we going to, you know, what are we going to do with all this money we got out there? And so from that standpoint, we talk about the draft and bringing guys in or whatever. The most important thing for the new GM is trying to figure out how we're going to get this money into a place where we can go out and do stuff. That's going to be the hardest thing to do. And then you got January, June 1st. You got what it means to do it before June 1st, after June. Yeah. I'm not even going to claim to know about all of the machinations that go behind when and how and what a guy can do. But again, I can talk about the players and how the team can be built. But the first things that have to happen is you got to get your money right.
Fix that money.
Right. And so that is going to be the job, the overall number one job of whoever starts running the organization.
Well, we will continue to brush up on our contract machinations and more as we come back for hour two of the Tobin and Leroy Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.